Bikers, start your riding season off right with a great ride for a great cause. The first annual Sword Run in Clarksburg, Saturday, May 18th. Delicious, slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 Visa card grand prize. Proceeds go to Motorcycles for Missionaries and to help build a new church facility in the local area of Clarksburg. Registration from 10 to noon at Norwood Park in Nutterfort. Rain date the following Saturday. Full details online at swordrun.com. Register online or get details at swordrun.com. That's swordrun.com. The first annual Sword Run, brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM and your local chapter of the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Join us on Easter Sunday as we enjoy the power-packed ministry of Pascal Kreitz, prior youth president of the West Virginia District United Pentecostal Church. There will be two amazing services at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Then, the weekend following Easter, come for the second of our series of Fresh Oil Conferences. This powerful time of anointing at Christian Apostolic Church will be held Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You're sure to be blessed by the anointing and energy of the one and only Earl Rodehaver from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. Speaking of our Fresh Oil series, today we're bringing you part two of the second night's message from our first Fresh Oil Conference hosted recently at our church. In this installment, the wonderful Mark McCool of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, preaches, "You came for a blessing, but you're leaving with a miracle."
Their then known world, they came rolling out of the upper room, drunk on the Spirit. It got the attention of the dead, dull, dry religious people of that day, who had come, as it were, protocol, because it was the feast day. But the Lord wanted them to know that I've got more than what you have ever experienced before. I've got something greater. I've got something more powerful than you have ever seen in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the day that somebody told me that God had more for me, that I didn't have to live in sin and I didn't have to live bound, but whosoever the Son of Man would set free would be free indeed. And I came to God with an expectancy, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And so it was with this atmosphere where there was an expectancy, there was a curiosity, there was something that drew the city together to see these Holy Ghost filled believers as they began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They were inquisitive, they were drawn with an expectancy, and it was this expectancy that opened the door to cause the message of the gospel to come forth with power and anointing. But they realized that it was not merely these apostolic believers. It was not merely them per se, but rather it was the power of God that was so evident among them that drew them to the presence of these believers. I want you to understand that anytime you are in the presence of a Holy Ghost filled child of God, you are in the presence of royalty. You say, "Preacher, are you being arrogant?" No, I'm just telling you the way that it is, because now that we are children of the King, I'm an heir, honey, to greater things. Come on, that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the earnest of your inheritance that's going to be revealed. But it was in this time that there was such presence of God. There was such evidence of His domain that people began to reach out. People began to be stirred. There was an expectancy for something very special or extraordinary to take place. The Bible tells us that there were approximately 3,000 that were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Approximately 5,000 the next day. But it's here that we find Peter and John in this chapter that we have read from, that as they began to do what was the protocol, they began to do what was the normal thing to do for them. They were not just going through the motions, but it was something that they practiced. They were going into the temple. It was the hour of prayer. It was an appointed time. And here they come, and they were doing their thing. But it was going to be a different day for them. It was going to be a time that they were going to experience a greater manifestation of God's power, that God would work through them some extraordinary acts. I don't know about you, but I don't come to church to go through the motions. And I hope that Pentecost, we've come to the day that we never get tired of the glory. We never get tired of the newness. You're not hearing me. I hope that we never get tired of feeling the power of God in our life, where we run the aisles and we worship God and we praise Him. Come on, help me preach. I'm telling you, we've got to get back to a freshness and a renewal. And I feel that in this house today. There has got to be a passion that brings a renewed Pentecost in our lives. There has got to be a passion that brings the power of God into our midst and into our lives. The Lord is in this house tonight, and I truly believe that He is here not only to save and to deliver, but the Lord is in this house to heal the sick. God is here to perform miracles. It's awful quiet in here, but I'm going to preach to you anyhow, because the same God that touched Brother Zach and raised him from the dead is walking up and down the aisles of this church, and He can still open the ears, He can open the blinded eye, He can loose the dumb tongue, He can lift you. And there is such an unction of the Spirit that is moving here. And it is here that Peter and John make their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were simply doing what they knew was the right thing to do. And I want to submit to this church, never stop doing the right things. And I feel that somebody's been paying the price and doing some of those things around here. Somebody's been doing some praying. Somebody's been doing some fasting. Somebody's been doing some witnessing. Somebody's been doing some outreach. Somebody's been making themselves available to the power of God in this house. That is why you feel what you feel. That's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing here. It is because somebody is hungry for a manifestation of God's power and His glory. Hey, don't come up here and give me any dead, dull, dried up religion. Honey, that don't change nobody. But you give me Holy Ghost and fire. Honey, it'll change the derelict. It'll deliver the demoniac. It'll set the drunkard free. It'll pull the marriage out of the divorce court. Somebody shout yes. And Peter and John doing just what they knew was the right thing to do. Turn around, tell your neighbor, say, keep doing the right thing. They remembered the words of Jesus Christ, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. They remembered the words of Matthew 18 and verse 19. When Jesus said, again, I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. They remembered what Jesus said. It was not the first time Jesus had addressed the subject, for the Bible is clear. Again, I say unto you, Sometimes the Lord has to come alongside and gently remind us of His promise and the power of His word, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching any one thing that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. That settles it. If Jesus said it, then I expect that He's going to do. You not hearing me? If Jesus said it, then I should expect that He's going to do what He said He would do if I would only touch and agree and ask when I pray. They remembered the words of the Lord that He spoke in Mark chapter 11 when He said, have faith in God. Somebody shout it with me. Have faith in God. Say it again. Have faith in God. Not faith in faith. Not faith in your pocketbook. Not faith in your attorney. Not faith in... You're awful quiet in here. I can hear a rat licking ice. I'm telling you, you just got to get real. You got to get honest and say, hey, my faith is not in the pill. My faith, you're not hearing me. My faith is not anchored. Come on, in the shaky ground and the promises of men. But my faith is built upon the everlasting word of Jesus. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, everybody said, whosoever. Come on, say it like you mean it. Whosoever. Turn around, tell your neighbor, whosoever. Somebody say, that means me. Point to your neighbor and say, that means you. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. Anybody got a mountain in your life? It's time you start talking back to your mountains. Get off the phone and quit talking to your neighbor. Stop your complaining and start claiming. No, you're not hearing me. It's time for somebody. Can I just preach? It's time for somebody to quit all your belly aching, all your complaining. Come on, and quit talking about how negative the world is in your situation, in your problem, and start talking about how powerful your God is and what God can do in your life. God's able in this house to do what you need. Come on, let's praise Him. Come on, let's worship Him right now. Come on, I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to start claiming. I'm going to believe that God is a... Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he, everybody said, saith... Say it again. Saith. This ain't got anything to do with name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Right? It has to do with what I ask God in prayer. Everybody said prayer. He said, if you believe the things which He saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever He saith. It didn't tell us exactly what it was. He just said, speak to the mountain. And he said, if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, he said, you'll receive those things that you say, that you're talking about, what you've addressed to the Lord, what you're asking God to do. Therefore, everybody said, therefore, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, not when you play, but when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Let me break it down for you. That whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you've got to believe that God is not only hearing you, but that God is ready and willing and will do what you're asking Him to do. No, you're not hearing me. I'm telling you, if you're going to pray and you're going to ask, then why don't you believe? No, you're not hearing me. If you're going to pray and you're going to ask, then honey, why don't you dare to believe that you got a great big God who holds the world in his hands, courses rivers in the desert. Come on, you've got a great God. You must exercise your faith. You must expect something to happen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, what are you expecting? Some of you better not answer that. You see, there is power even in collective faith. For he said, where two agree on earth as touching any one thing. There's power in collective faith. But even collective faith is powerless if there is no desire, if there is no belief, and there is no expectancy of God. Here it is. They come to the temple at the hour of prayer. They come to a central place to every Jew. They come to a place where people come together with God. And honey, you're here tonight. And if you're here and you came, and then you weren't just coming to punch the clock, you weren't coming just to show your face in the place, then why don't you go ahead and let God begin to move in your life? I don't know why the Holy Ghost checked me to preach this tonight, but I do know this, that you came here, some of you, just barely by the skin of your teeth. You came here saying, my God, if I could just get through the day. But I've come to declare to you, you are in the presence of a God that is able to do anything. He's able to do everything. He's able to heal your body tonight. Because when people and God come together, anything can happen. They came at the hour of prayer. They came to commune with God. They came to make their petitions known. If you came with a need tonight, I want to declare to you that the solution is available to you. All you got to do is ask and believe. They came and encountered expectancy. Here the subject in the text is a man, the Bible tells us, who is lame from birth. Here is a man who has been brought daily, and he has been set by the gate of the temple. For years he has been brought. It's something that he knows is going to happen every day that he lives. From the time that he was able to hold himself up and sit upon a blanket with a pan in front of him and at least say the words alms, that somewhere along the way that he would get the response from somebody somewhere at some time. And I'm here to tell you, if you keep on doing that in your life, you're always going to get what you've always got. Can I get an amen? If you're always walking in unbelief on a lame and crippled faith, then honey, that's all you're ever going to get. Can I get an amen? But if you ever learn to come to God with an expectancy, I feel my Holy Ghost now. If you ever come to God to believe him for the very moment that you have need, then I'm here to tell you, you can get up from where you are and not leave disappointed. You can leave this house healed. You can leave this house delivered. You can leave this house filled with the Holy Ghost. And here he is brought to the beautiful gate. It was an ugly scene to see somebody so pitifully hindered as to see this man sitting in a place that promised so much hope as the beautiful gate. You see, the beautiful gate was a very ornate gate. The beautiful gate was a testimony of the power of the rich and the wealthy. The beautiful gate, though they may have wanted to use it to honor God, it became a testimony in a place that offered the poor who were able to get there at least some amount of hope in their dismal world. That is why I don't blame the man for going to the beautiful gate. I don't blame his family for taking him to the beautiful gate. Because if you're in trouble, common sense says go where you can at least get some help. Can I get an amen? man. And that's why they brought him to the beautiful gate, because they knew that that's where the rich man's fixing to walk through. That's where the rich woman's about to pass. And if I can just get there, if I can just get a little, if I can just get a little substance, I know everything's going to be all right. But somewhere along the way, that's only going to give a temporary satisfaction. And you got to make up your mind that I'm tired of living life beneath my privilege. Can I get an amen? When God's got so much more, and while he sat in the gate, what he really wanted was beyond it. What he really desired was beyond the gate. I'm telling you, somebody, they've been sitting in the gate too long. God wants to bring you up and bring you through. Come on, let's praise him right now. And folks brought him daily to the temple. A man who is a beggar, thrown to the mercy of society. And here he is, found outside the confines of the beautiful gate. But his expectancy was beyond it. What he really wanted was just out of reach. And the only thing that kept him out was his imperfection. The only thing that kept him out was his lameness. The only thing that blocked his progress is his willingness to remain satisfied where he was. A handicap kept him out, living with expectations that were never realized. You see, by birth, by lineage, by right, he should have been able to go in to the temple and worship. He should have been able to take his own sacrifice. He should have been able to get up and worship and praise God for himself and experience the presence of God. He had his expectation, but he sat satisfied until. You see, sometimes God gives us an encounter with a presence that whets the appetite of expectancy within us. There's no doubt he longed to go in, just like some of you came to this service tonight, because some of you really want what you're going to ask God for tonight. You're really wanting the change. You're really wanting to take that next step in your victory. You're really wanting to take that next step in your deliverance. You came not to just go through the motions and say, I came to church and we had a good time and I saw some great things, but really deep down inside, you came here saying, no, I've sat here in this place long enough, and I've been satisfied too long with where I am. But it's somewhere tonight I can allow that expectancy to well up within my soul and cause me to make up my mind that there really is something more, and there really is something greater. Then I'm sure not going to sit here. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. I'm going to reach. God, come on, I'm telling you, you got to have a passion. You got to have a desire. Woo! My God, anybody got a desire tonight? Anybody got a passion? Anybody ready for your healing? I want the musicians to come. I'm about to close. And here it is. A man who has been satisfied. A man who has been so consistent to remain where he was, but today is about to change his entire life. His abnormality kept him out. Everybody say abnormality. Are you tired of your abnormality? Amen. You see, abnormality is outside the gate. Abnormality is outside the realm of God's mercy and grace. Outside the confines of the promises and the fulfillment of God's word. It is a barrier to more than just your blessing. It is a barrier to your victory. Peter and John, the Bible said, came to the temple and were about to go in when all of a sudden something catches their attention. Something that no doubt they've seen before, but something really grips their spirit this time. I believe it's almost as though if you were to walk through a store and you walk past a counter and all of a sudden out of your peripheral vision, it's somebody that you recognize, a face that is well known. But you weren't quite expecting them to be there. And all of a sudden, as you take that step, you stop and step back and take a look in their direction. I believe that is exactly what took place with Peter and John. The Bible said they were about to go into the temple when all of a sudden they stopped and were arrested of the Holy Ghost, but it was more than that. It was the need that was present in the gate. And when they turned and looked at him, they realized what he was wanting. They had heard his cries so many times before, but it was a time they were not going to let escape their attention this time. And when they looked down on him and he began to ask alms of them, it's then that Peter would look down and say, "Look on us." I'm telling you, there's something in this house you need to look for. It is the answer to your need. Oh, God. Peter speaks those words that we so well know. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. I want us all to stand right now, and I'm fixing to close. But I want you to understand something. That every time that God's presence shows up, I want you to remember it was just another opportunity for you to respond and take heed to what God was offering. This place is filled with faith right now. There is a presence here, I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you right now, I feel so strong. It could be just like Peter walking the streets of Jerusalem. If they took those people and they laid them out on the streets, the Bible said, lest at the shadow of Peter, at the least shadow of Peter passing over them, that they would be whole. I'm telling you, that's the miracle power that is in this house right now. Let's lift our hands and love him. I'm telling you, you came to this house, it wasn't by mistake. You just came into this house looking for a blessing. Like the lame man that was sitting at the beautiful gate, all you were looking for was just another handout instead of the helping hand. But I've come to declare to you in the Holy Ghost that your expectancy is just one prayer away. And you leaving here with a miracle is just one act of obedience away. That if all you were willing to do is to lift your hand and take the hand of God and feel the power raise you up, you can leave here with a miracle in your life. Come on, let's reach out and love him all over this building right now. I want us to begin to pray. Come on, help me, intercessors all over this building. Come on, that's it. Let's pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Come on, sir, you're here. I don't know what you came for except the blessing. But I'm telling you, you don't have to leave with just a blessing. You can leave here with a miracle in your life. Come on, you're tired of the handout. But what you need right now is a miracle from God. Come on, that's it, church. Let's pray. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Something great's about to happen here, church. Come on. Let's pray right now all over this building. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, you need to come on up here to the front right now. Come on, that's it. You need God to heal your body? Come on. Come on, some of you need a breakthrough in your home right now. You need to step out in faith and let's believe God.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
Bikers, start your riding season off right with a great ride for a great cause.
The first annual Sword Run in Clarksburg, Saturday, May 18th. Delicious slow-smoked barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 Visa card grand prize. Proceeds go to Motorcycles for Missionaries and to help build a new church facility in the local area of Clarksburg. Registration from 10 to noon at Norwood Park in Nutterfort. Rain date the following Saturday. Full details online at swordrun.com. Register online or get details at swordrun.com. That's swordrun.com. The first annual Sword Run, brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM and your local chapter of the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.